Okay, good afternoon. This is a special meeting of the New York State Racing and Wagering Board, October 11th, 2012, in Schenectady, New York. I'm Chairman John Sabini, joined by my colleagues Daniel D. Hogan and Charles J. Diamond. I want to thank folks for participating today. On March 22nd of this year, we announced the appointment by NYRA of a team of industry experts, which we cleared, to conduct an investigation concerning 21 horses that died or were euthanized as a result of injuries sustained at the Aqueduct Inner Track during the 2011-2012 fall-winter meet. The resulting task force on racehorse health and safety issued their report on September 28th. As Governor Cuomo noted, New York is committed to placing the health, safety, and welfare of equine athletes as a top priority in horse racing as we bring accountability and responsible business practices to horse racing. These recommendations will be an integral part of our new and improved racing product, and I know the board members share that view. The governor requested that the Racing and Wagering Board promptly consider changes identified by the task force to create a safety-conscious environment for race horses. A combination of factors were found by the task force that likely led to an increased rate of horse death. And while the task force couldn't point to any one deciding factor, they looked at a number of contributing factors, and there's no silver bullet here, but we think and we agree with the task force that a number of these factors contributed. Increased purses and claiming races that incentivize stakeholders to run substandard horses. Use of corticosteroids that may have limited the ability of veterinarians to identify pre-existing conditions that disposed horses to catastrophic injuries and other variables. The board reviewed the report and is ready to take immediate action today. I want to commend the members of that task force for their work, excellent work and review of these fatalities, led by Dr. Scott Palmer, Alan Foreman, Dr. Mary Scalay Ward, and Hall of Fame jockey Jerry Bailey. They deserve our gratitude and praise for a job well done, and frankly, I think I speak for my colleagues in saying they're helping us do our job better because some of these things needed, as they say in Catholicism, sort of the nihil abstat or the an approval from other authorities to get what we needed to get done or things that we know should have been done a while ago. The myriad of recommendations made by the task force are definitely worth reviewing. I'm not going to recount them verbatim, but that was more than adequately done when the report was released. But suffice it to say that the board is working hard and the staff here is working hard to enact all the recommendations. Let me be clear, these actions will provide a safer racing environment for both equine athletes and jockeys. These rules, along with the implementation of other task force recommendations by the board, show that New York State is and will continue to be a leader in racehorse health and safety, and these measures should serve as a model for other jurisdictions. And as chairman of the Racing Commissioners International, which covers all of North America and the Caribbean, we will be discussing many of these things at our coming meetings. After increased deaths occurred at Aqueduct, the board adopted or was in the process of adopting measures that the task force recommended. These included a 50% purse to claiming ratio that we believe has reduced incidences of equine fatalities, along with avoiding of a claim if a racehorse dies on the track. We also have an out-of-competition testing rule that recently went into effect for thoroughbreds. On the standardbred side, however, one standardbred horseman's organization is fighting the implementation of an out-of-competition testing program, and it remains subject to court review, but we'd like to see that done as well. We make no bones about that. Going forward, we'll continue to implement other rules and protocols outlined by the task force that do not require emergency rulemaking, including the hiring of an equine medical director at this board to oversee veterinarians at New York racetracks. This is something I've long pushed for. Aside from many NYRA-specific measures outlined in the report, some include increased and enhanced necropsy procedures, require collaboration between the Racing and Wagering Board and NYRA. Board staff has been in contact with NYRA to discuss how to put these practices into effect as soon as possible. All procedures that will be enacted today, all rulemaking enacted today, will of course affect conduct of racing at Finger Lakes Racetrack in Farmington, the state's other non-NYRA thoroughbred track. As we move these rules, that will be implemented there as well. In addition, there will be new procedures when you do rulemaking. There, you know, the rules are on paper, but there will be protocols to implement those rules, those that affect people outside of this agency and outside of NYRA. In other words, horsemen, trainers, veterinarians, and the like. New protocols will be posted on our website as they're developed, some of which will be posted fairly quickly. Today's action sets a legal framework for added protections and safeguards to further protect jockeys and the horse community. And we're going to consider two emergency rules today, and I'll ask Acting Secretary Kristen Buckley to call the first item.
I'm going to call the
meeting to order. I'm sorry, too.
Meeting to order at 2:12. And we received email comments from the Jockey Club, which I will attach to the minutes of today's meeting.
I want to thank the Jockey Club for their public endorsement of these as well.
Items to be approved, denied, or deferred by the board today. There are two. The first one is notice of emergency rulemaking, voidable claim for horses vanned off the track.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you, Chairman. This is, as Secretary Buckley indicated, the first of two items before the board. Both of the items deal with emergency rulemaking, that is, a finding by the board or a suggested finding by the board that the public safety, health safety, and or welfare requires immediate action such that proceeding by standard rulemaking would be inconsistent with those needs. And that is the recommendation here of the staff to the board. It's obviously the recommendation of the task force as well. This item involves a voidable claim for horses vanned off the track. And this item involves one specific rule, the board's claiming rule, procedural rule, whereas the next item will involve multiple rules. For this item, it's suggested and recommended that the board make changes by emergency rulemaking to section 4038.5A of the board's thoroughbred rules involving claiming procedures. There are two amendments here. The major amendment is the addition of a new item, triple I, to provide that a claim would be voidable at the discretion of the new owner for a period of 1 hour after the race is made official for any horse that is vanned off the track after the race. As the board is aware, a voidable claim, which exists otherwise in the board's rules, is a situation where the successful claimant has an option or an election to void a claim based on a specific reason. In this case, the addition to the rule would provide an election for the successful new owner to void a claim based on the fact that the horse is vanned off the track after the race. This amendment, if adopted by the board, would both expand the situations where a claim is voidable and also complement the board's recent adoption of changes to claiming procedures involving situations where a horse dies during a race or is euthanized on the track. In those situations, of course, the claim is automatically void. This would provide an option, as I've indicated. The other change to 4038.5A is simply to correct what has been mistakenly inserted and carried as an incorrect reference to 4038.18 in the rule. It's corrected to 4038.19. That has little consequence because that's always been interpreted to apply to the correct reference section. This rule will require a protocol and a form for a successful claimant who chooses to void a claim within that hour to opt to do that. And we anticipate that the procedures for that will be available for circulation and consumption no later than tomorrow in order to do that. And in that light, it's the recommendation of staff that this particular emergency rule be made effective on Friday, October 19th, which would be 1 week from tomorrow, in order to provide time for proper circulation and digestion, if you will, of the procedures so that when people enter horses for the races that will be conducted on the 19th of October, there will be full awareness of this procedure and of the possibility that when a horse is entered, that it could be, the claim could be voided on this basis.
All right. Members have draft protocol and forms in the packet.
So staff's recommendation is for the board to adopt this emergency rule change to 4038.5A to be effective Friday, October 19th.
Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, I guess we'll move the item. Notice of emergency rule making voidable claim for horses vandal up the track. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Notice of emergency rule making thoroughbred rules.
This item, Chairman and members of the board, is also before the board with a recommendation for adoption of rule changes by emergency rulemaking. Once again, these proposed changes result from suggestions and recommendations made by the Task Force on Racehorse Health and Safety, and it was suggested that these be emergency measures with the exception of one, which I'll explain why it's included in this package, on an emergency basis. There are actually amendments to six distinct rules here, although the number of changes exceeds six within those. So with your indulgence, I will go through these and also indicate that for these rule changes, it's staff's recommendation that although they should be adopted today as emergency measures, because proceeding otherwise would take too long a period of time in light of the circumstances, nevertheless, it's the recommendation that these become effective on December 12th of 2012 in order to provide sufficient time for these to be digested, for adjustments to be, necessary adjustments to be made, for the detailed protocols to be developed and vetted, if you will. So with your permission, I'll go through these rules. The first of these rules, at least in the order I'm presenting them, is an amendment to Rule 4012.5 of the board's rules, and this is the one that the that I mentioned was not specifically referenced as an emergency rule by the task force, but we believe that it should be adopted as an emergency rule because it's a necessary and essential part of implementing the other emergency rules, which I'll get to. This rule amendment deals with the sampling of horses for out-of-competition testing purposes, and what it does is add the specific authorization to do out-of-competition testing on horses for those substances which will be restricted by Rule 4043.2I, that is the amendments, which I'll get to, but that means that there could be out-of-competition testing to enforce the changes in the restrictions for clenbuterol, for corticosteroids, and for methylprednisolone. So that specific amendment will simply add language that will read and or restricted by 4043.2i, which will be the substantive provisions for those restrictions. The next emergency rule would be the addition of a new subdivision C to Section 5.5 of the board's rules to provide that the previous trainer of a claimed horse shall, within 48 hours after the race is made official, provide to the new owner an accurate record of all corticosteroid joint injections that were administered to the horse within 30 days before the race. And this is a change so that the new owner will be aware of any corticosteroid joint injections administered within those 30 days. This was a recommendation, or is a recommendation, of the task force. The next changes that I'll discuss are changes to Board Rule 404.3.2, which I sometimes call the Board Substantive Drug Rule, because it deals with the time frames within which drugs are permitted to be used or prohibited from use, depending on which way you look at that. The first change would be to Subdivision G of 404.3.2, and this is a simple change to delete clenbuterol from the listing of substances permitted to be administered up until 96 hours before a scheduled post time. And the reason it's being removed from the 96-hour list is, as I will get to, there will be a prohibition for 21 days before a race for clenbuterol. So obviously, this change goes hand-in-hand with that. The next change to 404.3.2 is in Subdivision E, Paragraph 9. Paragraph 9 provided a time listing for hormones and steroids. And what happens here is that steroids are deleted from this. So this provision, Subdivision E, E9, will now only address hormones rather than any steroids. And the next amendment to 404.3.2, which is one that I've mentioned in at least twice in reference to other rules, is a key component of implementing these recommendations. Subdivision I is amended by adding new language and redacting or deleting some old language to provide that a horse cannot race for at least 5 days following a systemic administration of a corticosteroid, for at least 7 days following a joint injection of any corticosteroid, for at least 15 days following a joint injection of methylprednisolone, sometimes known as depomedrol, and finally for at least 21 days following an administration of clenbuterol. And as in all situations involving the board's substantive drug prohibitions, there is also language that clarifies that substances ingested by a horse are deemed administered when they're eaten or drinking, as well as eaten or consumed by oral administration, I should say.
You can lead a horse to water.
Yes. In addition to any other form of ingestion. So those are the changes to 404.3.2. And as I indicated, they go hand in hand with some of the other rule changes. The final change is one in the trainer's responsibility rule, which is a key component, of course, of the board's and, frankly, any racing jurisdiction's equine regulatory program. The trainer's responsibility rule will be amended, if the board adopts this change, to add a new subdivision B, which will provide that trainers shall maintain accurate records of all corticosteroid joint injections to horses trained by them, and the records of every corticosteroid joint injection shall be submitted in a form and manner approved by the board by the trainer to the board within 48 hours of the treatment. And it goes on then to say it shall be accessible to the examining veterinarian for the purpose of assisting with pre-race veterinary exams. So The result of the adoption of this rule will be that trainers will be required to not only keep records of all corticosteroid joint injections, but pursuant to this rule, to provide that information to the Racing and Wagering Board within 48 hours of the actual treatment, and then that information will in turn be available to the NIRA and Finger Lakes examining vets, or whomever the examining vets may be at any point in time, for the purpose of assisting with the pre-race exams of the horses. So that is a summary or a description of what these emergency rules are, and as I indicated, it's staff's recommendation that these be adopted to be effective December 12 of 2012.
Questions or comments from the board members?
Yes,
Mr. Hogan.
Bob, are there going to be any issues in the Article 78 on the standard bred out of competition testing rules that could impact the thoroughbred rule? Do you see it now?
My opinion is no. I would defer to Rick Adele, who's been working on that litigation. But this is a change in the thoroughbred rule. The board adopted a revised or out of competition testing rule for thoroughbred and did not for harness. The harness rule remains the subject of ongoing litigation. So the impact of these changes is on the thoroughbred industry and not the harness industry.
What if they came up with some kind of a constitutional issue in terms of the entry to property and something like that? Wouldn't that likely?
There are constitutional issues that are raised. We believe, and I'll defer to Rick on this, but I believe we addressed many of those concerns in the drafting or crafting of the new rule.
In addition, the court in the harness case said that it was only addressing, for the sake of the parties, to give guidance on all the constitutional issues.
Good. Thank you very much. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Other questions or comments?
Before Diamond. Before we vote on the second part of the emergency rulemaking, Mr. Chairman, let me just take a moment to take this opportunity to express my gratitude and thanks to Governor Cuomo, his staff, the Racing and Wagering Board staff, and the industry experts, the task force, who conducted the thorough and very comprehensive investigation regarding racehorse health and safety. The changes that we made today and are about to make are a direct result of their recommendations. The rule changes that we made will protect the health and safety of both the equine and human athlete, not to mention the benefit to the wagerer, or the consumer, if you will. We ultimately want people around the United States and throughout the world to say, if you are looking for a race venue that is safe and projects honesty, fairness, and integrity, look to New York State, and today's emergency rules are a step forward in accomplishing exactly that mission. We need to remain vigilant and continue to modify and incorporate new rules and procedures to make this industry the best that it can be. Mr. Chairman, every participant and the horse racing industry is watching today as we begin implementing new rules and regulations. And as you had mentioned earlier, I hope that other jurisdictions will follow our lead and consider similar changes. So thank you.
Thank you. I also want to compliment the legal team under Mr. Feierstein's guidance, particularly Mr. Goodell and Mr. Stewart, for getting these things done in a timely manner.
I agree. Thank you.
We'll move the item then. If there's no other discussion, notice of emergency rulemaking for the rules, which is a six-parter. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Item is approved. I want to echo Mr. Diamond's sentiments and say that I want to thank the governor for his leadership on this, as well as the guidance from the task force that was appointed to come up with some ideas. And as I said, a lot of these ideas, some of us have been kicking some of them around for a while. So this helped us drag him across the finish line. Sometimes a push like this is necessary to get what you need done, in spite of some opposition from people in the industry. I think the industry has woken up to the fact that everyone wants a safe racetrack for everyone. and for the continued financial health of the industry. We want to see New York be the leader in that, as we have been up till now. So thank you for your attention to this matter, and I'll close the meeting.
I'll adjourn the meeting at 2:31.
Thank you.
Mine, this is yours.